Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Activating the Common Good: Reclaiming Control of Our Collective Well-Being by Peter Block is a civic and community leadership book that argues for a shift in how we explain social life and how we pursue change. Block challenges a dominant cultural story that treats people as primarily self-interested, polarized, and governed by scarcity and competition. In its place, he advances a common good perspective rooted in cooperation, relationship, and shared responsibility. The book focuses less on grand policy prescriptions and more on the conditions that make collective well-being possible in everyday life, especially at the local level. Block proposes that citizens can reclaim agency by rebuilding trust, strengthening social capital, and creating places and practices where neighbors can meet, talk, and act together. He also sketches how this narrative shift could influence fields such as journalism, architecture and public space, faith communities, markets, and leadership. Overall, the book is designed to be both hopeful and practical, offering a framework for participation rather than a top-down program for reform. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, replacing the scarcity story with a common good narrative. A central move in the book is to name and challenge the story that often sits beneath public life, the assumption that society is driven by scarcity, competition, and the pursuit of private gain. Block frames this as more than an economic viewpoint, because it shapes how institutions operate, how media depicts communities, and how individuals relate to one another. When people accept this story, civic life tends to become transactional, fearful, and fragmented, and it becomes easy to believe that only experts, markets, or distant authorities can solve collective problems. The common good perspective offers an alternative account of who we are, people capable of cooperation, care, and mutual contribution. This is not presented as naive optimism, but as a practical premise for action. If a community believes it can produce parts of its own well-being, then relationships and participation become productive forces, not soft extras. The book treats narrative as consequential infrastructure. Changing the story changes what leaders ask for, what citizens expect of themselves, and what kinds of solutions feel legitimate, especially when problems are complex and cannot be fixed through command and control. Secondly, collective agency shifting from consumer and client to citizen. Block emphasizes reclaiming agency as a civic practice, rather than seeing ourselves mainly as consumers of services or clients of institutions. The book invites readers to act as citizens who share responsibility for the quality of communal life. This shift matters because many social challenges do not yield to top-down interventions alone, and the habit of outsourcing responsibility can weaken local capacity. In the common good frame, agency is expressed through participation and commitment, not through individual self-reliance or heroic leadership. The book highlights the power of people choosing to convene, to speak honestly, and to make promises to one another that are not dependent on institutional permission. This approach aligns with a view of change that starts with relationships and moves outward to structures, rather than the reverse. It also reframes accountability as something that grows from belonging and shared intention, not merely from metrics or compliance. By stressing citizenhood, Block pushes readers to see community well-being as something co-produced. The practical implication is that progress depends on inviting wider participation, making room for local initiative, and treating residents as assets in shaping the future. Thirdly, trust and social capital as core infrastructure for well-being. The book treats trust and social capital as essential resources for collective well-being. Instead of defining capital only in financial terms, Block points to the value generated when people know each other, cooperate, and believe they can act together. This matters because many communities have plenty of organizations and programs, yet still struggle with isolation, suspicion, and low participation. In that environment, even well-funded initiatives can fail to take root. Block argues that leadership and activism aimed at the common good should prioritize conditions that increase trust among citizens, especially among neighbors and local strangers. Trust is not approached as an abstract virtue, but as a practical capability built through repeated, honest interaction and shared work. Social capital grows when people have meaningful roles, experience reciprocity, and can see their contributions matter. This also offers a different yardstick for success. Instead of only counting outputs, the common good perspective asks whether efforts increase connection, mutual responsibility, and the capacity to address future challenges together. By elevating these relational factors, the book provides a rationale for community building work that can otherwise be dismissed as secondary to policy and technical solutions. Fourthly, the role of physical and social spaces in activating connection. Block underscores that community is shaped by where and how people gather. The common good does not become real only through ideas or statements. It requires settings that make conversation and relationship possible. The book highlights the importance of reclaiming or creating everyday spaces where neighbors can meet without heavy formality, such as a park bench, a small gathering spot, or other familiar places that invite repeated contact. These spaces function as civic infrastructure because they lower the barriers to participation and create opportunities for listening, mutual recognition, and joint initiative. The focus is not on large-scale development projects, but on designing for encounter and belonging. This connects to a broader argument that architecture and public life can either reinforce isolation or encourage community. When places are built around privacy, speed, and consumption, they can weaken the habits needed for collective well-being. When places support lingering, conversation, and shared presence, they help people move from anonymity to relationship. In this view, the simple act of making room for people to gather becomes a strategic intervention. It is a way to convert abstract concern for the community into the lived experience of connection and responsibility. Lastly, how a common good perspective can reshape institutions and fields. While the book foregrounds local action and citizen agency, it also explores how a shift toward the common good could influence major domains of social life. Locke points to areas such as journalism, architecture and design, faith communities, markets, and leadership and activism. The unifying idea is that each field can either amplify the scarcity story or help build the conditions for trust, participation, and shared responsibility. Journalism, for example, can choose frames that highlight fear and division or that report on what works and what communities are learning. Architecture and planning can prioritize spaces that foster connection rather than separation. Faith communities can serve as convening and belonging structures that strengthen communal ties. Markets can be understood as tools that should be restrained and local enough to serve human flourishing, rather than treated as the sole organizing principle. Leadership and activism, instead of mobilizing primarily through outrage or control, can focus on building social capital and inviting broader ownership of the future. The book does not reduce these fields to policy checklists. It uses them to show that the common good is not one program among many, but a lens that changes everyday choices about language, design, and what outcomes society rewards. In conclusion, this book is best suited for community builders, local leaders, facilitators, nonprofit, and civic practitioners, and readers who feel that many problems labeled social, economic, or political are also relational. It will also appeal to anyone looking for a hopeful but grounded alternative to narratives that assume people are mainly driven by self-interest and that change must come from large institutions. And the main benefit is intellectual and practical at once. It offers a clear lens for diagnosing why communities become stuck and a set of orienting commitments that point toward action. Readers come away with a stronger case for why trust, social capital, and citizen participation are not peripheral but central to safety, health, livelihood, and a sustainable environment. The emphasis on physical and social spaces makes the argument tangible, and the discussion of journalism, design, faith communities, markets, and leadership broadens the relevance beyond any single sector. Compared with many books in the social change and civic renewal category, Block places less weight on technical fixes and more on the daily practices that restore belonging and shared responsibility. That positioning makes it a distinctive companion to policy-driven approaches. It focuses on the human conditions that allow better policy and better institutions to actually work in real communities. If you would like to support Peter Block, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.